Maybe we could get a young brother to read from chapter 2, beginning at verse 15 through the end of the chapter, and perhaps down through verse 5 of the following chapter.
Beginning at verse 18, chapter 2, verse 18.
15.
When she rose to glean, Boaz commanded his servants, saying, "Let her glean even among the sheaves, and do not insult her. Also, you shall purposely pull out for her some grain from the bundles, and leave it that she may glean, and do not rebuke her." So she gleaned in the field until evening. Then she beat out what she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. She took it up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw that she had what she had gleaned. She also took it out and gave it to Naomi, what she had left after she was satisfied. Her mother-in-law then said to her, "Where did you glean today, and where did you work? May he who took notice of you be blessed." So she told her mother-in-law with whom she had worked and said, The name of the man with whom I work today is Boaz." Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, "May he be blessed of the Lord, who has not withdrawn his kindness to the living and to the dead." Again Naomi said to her, "The man is our relative. He is one of our closest relatives." Then Ruth the Moabitess said, "Furthermore, he said to me, 'You should stay close to my servants until they have finished all my harvest.'" Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, "It is good, my daughter, that you go out with his maids, so that others do not fall upon you in another field." So she stayed close by the maids of Boaz in order to glean until the end of the barley harvest and the wheat harvest. And she lived with her mother-in-law.
Down through verse 5.
Okay. Then Naomi and her mother-in-law said to her, "My daughter, shall I not seek security for you, that it may be well with you? Now is not Boaz our kinsman, with whose maids you were? Behold, he winnows barley at the threshing floor tonight. Wash yourself, therefore, and anoint yourself. Put on your best clothes and go down to the threshing floor. But do not make yourself known to the man until he has finished eating and drinking. It shall be when he lies down that you shall notice the place where he lies, and you shall go and uncover his feet and lie down. Then he will tell you what you shall do." She said to her, "All that you say, I will do."
Now, Emil, you're a little better at recapping than I am. So why don't you just try to bring us from where we've been to where we are this week.
I wonder if Ruth start gleaning on Monday, do you think by Wednesday she would have been like, "Oh no, not another Bible study"? I'm sure she was as good on Wednesday as she was on Monday. So don't fall asleep on me, please. We're going to be gleaning here. So you got to be awake and alert and paying attention and taking notes. We said yesterday that in chapter 2, we are introduced right from the outset to the second man, the man that comes out of Bethlehem, the mighty man of wealth, the man that's all the blessing, all the resources is in him. And then we find Ruth takes the initiative. She felt a sense of responsibility to bring some food for herself and for her mother-in-law. We had this remark mentioned many times. She wasn't lazy. And she went. She was in a way. She did not know anything about Bethlehem or who owns what field and anything. But by faith, she said, "I am going to go." That's man's responsibility. By faith, I could say, "I want to read the word. I might not understand everything." But then the scripture said, "And the Lord give you understanding." So she's going, and the Lord directs her steps to go into the field of Boaz. And she starts working. And she was working very hard. And there was the supervisor, who was over the reapers. And he looked around and he said, "Look at this Moabite, this girl. Boy, she didn't sit still. She is working very hard. She is picking grains and she is really doing good. And all of a sudden, the CEO of the company walks in, Boaz, and everybody's standing attention. The big boss is here. And he's a kind big boss. The Lord bless you. His servants will answer him back. The Lord be with you. And then, right away, also, he takes a notice. You know, these people usually who are gleaning are kind of like, yeah, let me just get... You know how hard it is to kind of kneel down or bow down or bend down and pick up grain, put them in a sack, and then go again and do that, go again and do that? How many of you could do 10 push-ups? Let me see a show of hands. How many could do 30? How many could do it for 8 hours? How many could do it till the evening? That's what she was doing, talking about hard work. Here you're sitting on a comfortable seat in almost air-conditioned room, and everybody's half asleep. So she kept working. She kept picking up grain, and it was taking notice of her. And then Boaz, when he hears a report, he spoke kindly to her. That's the Lord Jesus. He spoke to her heart. He comforted her heart. He took notice of what's going on. And I tell you, young people, the Lord Jesus, the Spirit of God, take notice of what you're doing and where you are. He asked her to stay with his young ladies, with the maidens. He asked the young men not to touch her. He asked her to drink from the water that the young men had drawn. We talked about the condition of purity and holiness that is associated with those who belong to Boaz. It's important. It's very important. Ruth, in very subjective way, listened to what Boaz said. At dinner time, at meal time, she would have been happy with just his talk. But Boaz just doesn't talk. He acts upon his talk. So he invited her to sit at the table. He gave her food. And he comforted her heart. And does she say now, oh, I know the boss, I'm all right, I don't have to work hard anymore? No. And the boss liked me, I don't have to work hard anymore. No. She went back again and she continued to collect the whole day. And Boaz in his goodness will tell his servant, just don't, you know, let her find out what's left over. But purposely dropped more grain for her. If you go on for the things of God, trust me, you will get more and more and more. Ask any of the a little bit older brothers than you who are here. They tell you, when they started, they did not know everything, but they just went for it. And here a little, there a little, line upon line, precept upon precept, and the Lord will give you increase all the time. Now we come in for the verses that we have read. She collected what she collected till the evening, and then she went to her mother-in-law. And leave it to Brother Chuck to introduce us.
Well, I wanted to underline a little something in verse 15. When I've come to have a relationship with this Boaz, I find that he is one who commands authority. It wasn't optional with these young men. He doesn't say to the young men, it would be a good thing if you didn't. But he commanded the young men. And the Lord Jesus has given us many commands today. His commands are not grievous for the believer. This is what we want to see. It's a delight to serve him and to follow him. But he has a word. He commanded his young men. And we speak of grace. I don't think that it was normal that she would be allowed to glean even among the sheaves. I think this was beyond what the normal provision was for. Even among the sheaves. And reproach her not. And then we see, here's something else. I want you, he says to these young men, I want you to reach in and I want you to take some of what was mine. And I want you to leave it there for her. Some of us were talking yesterday about love stories. And we find, unfortunately, that many times we find believers occupied with the tabloids and all of these stories that are around. You know, this is the most wonderful love story that we'll ever find. And it's right here in the Word of God, isn't it? When we look at the book of Ruth. Let fall handfuls of purpose. Mark this, dear young person. For her. That's what they were for. They were for her.
he says, and leave them that she may not, that she may glean them, and don't say anything to her. Don't rebuke her. Boaz, he was making abundant provision for this woman that had come in by grace, wasn't he?
And I had a thought in considering Boaz as the mighty man of wealth. And in our way of thinking, naturally speaking, if he's such a mighty man of wealth, then why could he not and why would he not take of his abundance and simply hand it to Ruth and say, here, Ruth, you take all of these good things that I have, right, here, and just go home. Okay, take them to your mother-in-law and go and enjoy them. Why would we not see this type of a response from Boaz, but rather the fact that he would even leave handfuls of purpose, which she still had to glean. She still had to pick that up. And what is the purpose for that? And you see what it is that the Lord gives to us these handfuls of purpose. But unless we appropriate them, unless we take them and glean them for ourselves, unless there's effort put in on our part to take that and to glean it, okay, then we don't come into the really the appreciation of what he has given to us, and it is not as real to us. And the Lord is looking to be real to our hearts, and that we take it in, and that it has an effect in our lives as we leave, as we're going to see as we go down the next few verses, that has an effect on Ruth and the very testimony that she gives.
You know, John, I was thinking in verse 17, you have that principle brought out in an even more deeper way. It says, so she gleaned in the field until the evening, and she beat out what she had gleaned.
That's it.
You see, first there's the gathering, right? There's the work that Brother Emil was talking about, the physical work of gathering up these portions that are there in the field, and it's effort. But you see, it doesn't stop there. So we sit in a meeting like this, and we hear the Word of God as it's shared. And then we can do one of two things. We can either get up and we go out, and as we read in the New Testament, it slips away from us. But we can be like Ruth, who now goes home, and she beats out. There's some further work to be done. And I think this is a wonderful principle for us to see. It's the reason why Boaz really would not have been helping her if he just simply gave of her wealth in that sense.
Exactly.
Just simply said, here's food and here's more than enough for you and your mother-in-law. But Ruth had to gather for herself. And then when she got home, there was that turning over in her mind, that meditating, that appropriating what she had gathered so that now it's really good to her heart. Some in the Old Testament speaks of the cow chewing the cud, right? It takes in food, but then later on it takes that food again and takes it through its system, and there is the sweetness of having beaten out the wheat and enjoyed it for yourself and said, well, you know, how wonderful these portions of Christ really are. And I want to encourage us as young people, whether it's at a conference like this, or in ministry, it's not simply for us to hear what is being said, and that's wonderful, but then to meditate upon these things, because I believe that the meditation of the Word of God is where we begin to see it being put into practice in our hearts and lives.
Just wanted to add a couple quick thoughts. It says that she rose up and gleaned with the first verse that we started, and then it says that she did it until evening time. And when we might wonder where, I mean, she had already been gleaning all morning, so she must have been tired, but I think she received tremendous energy, and I don't think we want to minimize the impact that sitting at the table with Boaz and feeding upon what he had to offer her gave her the energy to again rise up and continue to glean until the evening time. And how important it is for us as young people to, when we're involved with any service at all for the Lord, that he calls us aside and says, come hither, just sit with me for a while, to be like Mary, to sit at his feet, to be able to listen to what he has to say. So she had tremendous fellowship with Boaz for those couple of hours or whatever the amount of time was that we ended with last night. So she got up and she rose and she had energy to serve. And then it was apparent to others. She took, Naomi knew that she had been with somebody. She had been gleaning somewhere. And it says, just to add to what Brother Tony said, meditate upon them, give thyself wholly to them. But the verse doesn't end there. It says that thy profiting might appear to all. And here she comes with tremendous things gleaned, and she's able to share of her substance. And it says also, Paul told Timothy, the husbandman must first be a partaker for the fruit. You cannot expect to give anything to anybody that you have not first received from the Lord. So how important it is to spend time with Him, to come aside, to rest for a while, then to have energy to go back out and share with others.
We need you to get a mic. Just come on, if you can walk up to the front. It's hard to take part in a Bible study from the back row.
I just want to actually combine just two things that were said. Brother Chuck said, and then Brother Dave just said. But first, Boaz provided for Ruth. He told the young man not to touch her, not to rebuke her. He then told the and then he left the food for her, the grain. And then later, Naomi saw that Ruth, all that Ruth had collected, and she saw that it was more than usual, and so she asked about it. The Lord is providing for us, and He will provide for us, and others will watch us, and they will see us, and it's all there in His Word for us to gather, for us to harvest. But if we all we have to do is pick it up. All we have to do is study it. And then others will see. And then others will see our lives. And they'll notice, like Naomi did, that we have been giving something important. And then they will ask about it, just like Naomi asked Ruth.
I'm thinking, as we've been speaking about the busyness of the woman Ruth, I want to just call attention to Proverbs 31. And I want just to remind brothers and sisters, we ought to be very familiar with that portion of the Word of God. There is a sister that is spoken of there, and every aspect of her life is gone through. She is busy for the Lord in everything that she does, and blessing is the result of it. Her children rise up at the end of the day, and they call her blessed. So I just underline this as we see with Ruth, with that portion of the Word of God, to see how that a sister, a godly sister, a sister that has given her all to the Lord, will not be a sister with idle hands. A brother that has given everything to the Lord will not be a brother that is sitting going to sleep when the work of the Lord is waiting to be done. That's what we have in both of these, isn't it?
David mentioned that Ruth, sitting at the table with Boaz, she found encouragement and energy, as it were, to go on to the rest of the day. And in verse 16, we thought about this verse already, but let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her. And I think this is another something else that the Lord provides us with, that gives us energy. When all she was expecting was, well, all that was expected of Boaz, according to the law in Deuteronomy 24, was if you forget a sheaf in the field, that you don't go back and pick it up. But here, this is, as it were, exceeding abundant grace that we don't deserve. And when we find it, when we find that the Lord blesses us with much more than what we ever thought of or dreamt of, it energizes us to live by faith and dependence on the Lord for the next in the next test.
I think also definitely have to take note, and Emil had touched on it, that basically the humility of Ruth. Like he gave the example of the CEO walking in. The CEO, I know, like, definitely for myself, like in my company, that if you're favored by upper management, you tend to get away with a lot more than like somebody that's not favored by upper management or directors or what have you. But Ruth, in the midst of all of this, she could have said, well, hey, I'm sitting here, I'm eating with my master, I'm done for the day. But she went back. And she continued to be humbled. And sometimes I think that even for ourselves, that even in our prayer lives or whatever it might be in our own spiritual lives, when things are going great, we tend to like sort of take that for granted, that everything is going good in our lives. And we take these things for granted because we're like, well, everything is great. So then therefore we might even put the Lord sort of on a back burner and think that we've accomplished all of this on our own. But we have, but Ruth had the position that, yes, I am blessed and I'm understanding, but it's only by the mercy of God. It's mercy of my master that I'm here. So I'm going to continue to go on for him and so forth.
There was a question that was asked of me as I walked in this morning, and I think this is a nice juncture to raise this. Turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 23, and I'd like to link this with the thought that Richard is sharing as to the attitude of Ruth. In Deuteronomy chapter 23, in verse 3 and 4, it says, "An Ammonite or Moabite shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord. Even to their tenth generation shall they not enter into the congregation of the Lord forever, because they met you not with bread and water in the way when you came forth out of Egypt, and because they hired against thee Balaam the son of Beor and Pethor of Mesopotamia to curse thee. Nevertheless, the Lord thy God would not hearken unto Balaam, but the Lord thy God turned the curse into a blessing unto thee, because the Lord thy God loved thee." I think the attitude of Ruth was that she recognized that there was no real place for her where she was. That she was, as we mentioned this yesterday, she was outside of the blessings that were to the children of Israel. So she wasn't going to adopt, or it would have been a strange position for her to adopt an attitude of, I deserve to be here. I was brought back here by Naomi. She has a right and a place here. And if she has one, then I have one. But I believe that Ruth has the proper attitude. And it's an attitude that we should have as those who are Gentiles, who have been grafted and brought in, to know that it is the sovereign grace of God. And that attitude, and we've been using this word energy, this spiritual energy that you see in Ruth. She's not lazy. She recognizes that she is now in a most favored position. And that she now is trying to gather up all that she can. And young people, I think this is the challenge to us. When we recognize that God has blessed us, and you see the fields, they're ripe with harvest. It's the beginning of the barley season. And she wants to use, with every ounce of energy that she has, that energy to gather up portions. Because she knows that it will satisfy her. And I'd like to suggest to us that the barley season again speaks of Christ and resurrection. We read in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where he is, for he sits at the right hand of God." If we are going to grow spiritually, it is our desire, our understanding that where we are feeding on is the man in the glory. And Ruth now beats these things out for herself. And I want to point out that Ruth now comes back into the city. And I wonder if there's the thought that sometimes the collection of these things is away from all of the busyness of the city, away from all of its commerce. It's out in the fields where there's hard work, but then it's brought back to the city where there are those that she can share that which she has gathered for herself, that which she's enjoyed. Let us not go to camp Let us not run into service without first having taken in the Word of God in our hearts, enjoyed it, and thereby we can now teach others or help others.
I continue on that very same thought. The Spirit of God recorded to us how much she had gleaned. 10 ephah, a whole, it's a Hebrew way of measurement. It's about 50 pounds. A 50-pound bag. This lady was working 12 hours a day, picking up. Then she went and she cleaned up what she had picked up to get the grain by itself. Let's make it very practical here. We have heard about studying the Word. Studying the Word. When you sit in a Bible conference, when you sit in a Bible study, if you are not going to take notes, trust me, I don't care how smart you are not going to be able to get everything. Your mind is going to wander everywhere. But that's one thing. If you don't go home and go over these things over and over and over again, you are not going to glean anything. Don't sit here. A minute listen. 10 minutes your mind wonder, what are we going to do after lunch? And how is the activity going to be? Or, you know, who is that guy that's sitting next to me? Or why did he sit next to me? If you are paying attention and you are taking notes, that's what the Spirit of God wants you to do. And that's what Ruth was doing. She was taking all of these things. And she collected an ephah. Now, an ephah in the Hebrew measurement is 10 omers. We read that in Exodus chapter 16. When they collected the manna, it was an omer is enough for one man eating for the day, for three meals. She collected 10 times that. She collected enough food for 30 meals. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner. She collected all of that and she carried it back. This, and I don't think Ruth was kind of a big, I don't know, I picture her as a little tiny girl. You know, I don't picture her as a strong, you know, muscular person that is carrying a big pound of wheat and coming back, barley and coming back to it. So the important thing is the energy and studying the Word of God and going over it and being serious about it, because you will feed yourself, you will feed others, and you will gain enough. She didn't be happy to just go, oh, that's enough for the day, I'm going to go back again tomorrow. She got enough for 10 days, and she went back again tomorrow.
Ruth just doesn't stop working. She just keeps going on. 10 omers. She doesn't say, oh, look, I have an omer. That's enough for day. I'm going home. She keeps working on until the evening. She keeps working in verse 23 to the end of the barley harvest and to the end of the wheat harvest. It should be the same for our lives, too. There's never a point where we can stop studying and say, oh, I've learned enough. We just keep going on till the ends of our lives. There's never a point where we say, I've witnessed to enough people or I've done enough work for the Lord. We just keep going on to the ends of lives. We see that in the Toward the Mark article about Paul, how even in prison, near the end of his life when he is about to be executed, some people would say it was the pinnacle of his Christian life. He requests books so he can keep learning.
Should be brought out is that we touched on it where Boaz told his the young men to leave her and let her, and basically he did not set a limit. Usually when she's gleaning, you're gleaning on the edges of the field, but she had basically full access to the field. And I think that this could be taken that, number one, like where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. There's many times that we, and for Ruth, she was, you know, the thought was brought up that she might have been a small woman. And I think sometimes that even in our own assemblies, in our own lives, we might feel small in terms of our position or our responsibilities or what have you. Or we might feel that, oh, if we have a thought or an idea that we can't bring it up because the brother ain't going to say no, we don't like that. We don't, you know, in terms of our going on, and that we get easily discouraged by the things that we might want to bring forth. So I think that where the Lord if everything that we do is in accordance to what the Lord would have us to do, and when he's blessing us generously, that he would make a way out of no way. He would open up the doors, and we wouldn't have to, like, push. We don't always have to push to get things or get our opinions or voices heard, that the Lord will always make a way, and he would just say, like, with, you know, in a way, just telling people to, like, leave that person alone and let them do what they need to do, and as because they're doing my work.
I want to call our attention to verse 18 and a portion of 19. Tony has reminded us we can only give away the overflow. We got to realize that. We can only give to someone else that which is abounding that has been given to us. What a wonderful thing to remember. Now, young people, you and I are what we eat. Get out of the fields of Moab for a minute, and let's get right in this room where you are on a day-by-day basis. This verse, her mother-in-law said unto her in 19, "Where hast thou gleaned today?" If you take anything away from this conference, I trust it is a sense of what this verse means to you and I in our Christian life on a day-by-day basis. Where have I been? Have I spent time on the internet? Have I been looking at movies that are defiling? Am I looking at things that are really not going to bless but are going to be a curse to me in my Christian life? If I break bread, and I trust that we are, I trust that young people in this room are concerned and exercised about remembering the Lord Jesus in his death for you in the local meeting. What will I take into that meeting? I'll take into that meeting what I've been eating the week ahead. How solemn this is. Where hast thou gleaned? I might be thinking about somebody else. Where has Joe been? No, the Lord says, Chuck, it's not your business to worry where Joe has been, or where David has been, or where John has been. Where have you been? Where hast thou gleaned today? And when I've been in a field of Boaz, do you know what I won't have to do? I won't have to go and tell somebody I've been in the field of Boaz. They're going to know it. They're going to be encouraged. They're going to be helped. I want to ask you, young brother, are you an encourager of others? Spiritually, we should be. Young sister, do you encourage other young brothers and sisters spiritually? We should be. We need one another. Get into the meeting, the relationships with our older brethren. When was the last time we went and told one of the brothers, "I really enjoyed what you gave today. That was a real help to me. I love you. You seem to be able to speak." When did we go and tell them that? When have sisters gone to sisters, or we as brothers? You see, we're all in this. It isn't the division of old and young, but we help one another. We support one another. But we will never be able to be a help or to be a support if we've been in one of the fields of Moab. You see, we are what we eat.
Ephah, she could never have gathered the whole ephah without Boaz's help. And we could take this to ourselves in our spiritual life. We can't take as much out of the word. We can take stuff out of the word by ourselves, but we'll get more out of it if we ask our true Boaz to help us to take the ephah.
Yeah, there's two people that are on a spiritual journey here that we're learning about. We're learning a lot about Ruth and her spiritual journey. We're learning a lot about how she's feeding and gleaning from the field. And really, when we look at this chapter and what you've had before yesterday, you know, she's feeding. Ultimately, what this is bringing before, she's feeding on Christ, right? And now we also have Naomi in this chapter. We don't read a lot about Naomi, but she's here. Ruth is the one out gleaning. Okay? She's the one that's in the field. Now she's beating it out. She's appropriating it for herself, and she's coming back with this ephah of barley. And then Naomi says to her, well, where have you gleaned today? Well, her first response is not to answer the question of where. She says, with whom gleaned in the field? In Boaz's field. It's the name. It's the person, not the place. It's the person. We're gathered around him. He is in the very midst where two or three are gathered. It is Christ. And so this is the person who has become important and has become large to Ruth. And as she comes home with her barley, now she has some that she can share with Naomi. And Naomi is on a spiritual journey as well. We've had Naomi coming out back from Moab. We've talked about restoration. I believe that Naomi is still on that path of restoration. And we have the energy of faith in Ruth, who's appropriating and gleaning for herself. But where's Naomi? She's at home. Now, it's a wonderful thing, the grace of God, and the fact that Ruth can come home with what she's appropriated and share that. There's that which is left over that she can share with her mother-in-law, and that her mother-in-law, as we're going to see as we get into chapter 3, has also the evidence of feeding on that which has come from the fields of Boaz. But her spiritual growth, Naomi's spiritual growth, we can see here already is much slower than that which Ruth is enjoying because of the energy that she's putting into it. And so we have the one who had no place, okay, but by grace has come into a place, okay, and the one who is giving the energy and growing spiritually, while Naomi is a little bit more nonchalant about this whole thing, I would say, and is ready to sit back a little bit and just be fed rather than to have the energy to gain for herself. And we're seeing a difference in the growth pattern.
I'd just like to go back to what Justin said about how Ruth wasn't able to gather an ephah of barley without the help of Boaz. But let's look at it a little bit of a different angle. And, you know, whenever she was working in the field, you know, I'd imagine, you know, she's human, she'd get tired, right? So whenever she's working hard, she gets tired. And whenever you're working, you know, you're doing the Lord's work, you know, and you get, sometimes you get spiritually tired, you know, spiritually fatigued, and, you know, you need some kind of encouragement. And it's like whenever Boaz, you know, he dropped the bundles and helped her out, it was probably like whenever she was tired and she would find all these bundles, and she's probably encouraged from that, right? So the Lord, he gives us encouragement in due season so we can keep going.
I think it's important to note that before we beat out this grain and before we share it, that threshing is required first. It needs to be separated. It's important that we rightly divide the word of truth before we start dwelling upon it, before we share it with others. We've got to make sure what we're getting is correct, where we're not taking it out of context, or we're not taking just what we want or is convenient for us at the time, or that might keep us from feeling self-judged, but that we take everything that the Lord gives and that we apply it to ourselves.
I just want to ask a question, and it's in regards to what my brother John had said. And he had said that Ruth seems to be in an active, you know, growing process for the Lord, while Naomi stayed at home. At the same time, we read in verse 20 that first, actually in verse, in the latter part of verse 19, where she said that the man's name with whom I work today is Boaz. And in verse 20, then Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, actually, that's not where I want. I want verse 20. Then Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, blessed be the Lord who has not forsaken his kindness to the living and to his dead. And to the dead. And Naomi said to her, this man is a relation of ours, one of our close relatives. And it seems to me that even though Naomi was in a state of, she's just recovering, or she might, she have failed in the past and so forth like that, that she seems to be an older believer to Ruth. And that's why she could be the one who point out that, hey, Boaz is a close kindred of us. And sometimes we find believers like that, even though they might seem to be in a recovering state or not in a good state, at the same time they are better able to really identify, because they have gone this route before, then they are better able to, to counsel us from their experience. And secondly, she could have given advice to say that in verse 22. Naomi said to her, "It is good, my daughter, that you go out with his, that you go out with his young woman, and that people do not meet you in any other field." So even though she might be a believer who is, you might say, is recovering, then at the same time she could, first of all, identify who Boaz is, which of course, as we have been saying, is the Lord Jesus Christ. But secondly, she could have given a sound advice that, hey, do not go in any other field, but stick in his field. And sometimes, as young believers, we might not want to take counsel from an older believer. We might say that, okay, I'm better than he is. I could speak better than he is, or whatever the case might be. And sometimes we feel above, below ourselves to really take advice from them, when really they have gone this route before us and they have had experience and they are better able to give us counsel.
I don't think there's any doubt, at least in my mind, that Naomi is blessed by the energy of faith that is seen in Ruth. I think that if we read in plain English in our Bible, we'll see that. Now, when Ruth had gleaned and beat out, this is what the brother was saying over in the corner, She had made the truth her own. She didn't go home to Naomi and say, "Naomi, here's a smidgen for you. I have just a little bit for you. I've worked all day for this, and I'm going to give you just a little bit." I believe that she gave to Naomi what Naomi needed. And I believe we begin to see, again, this growth in Naomi. If I'm reading where John is coming from, I believe that there's a solemn warning for young people. It's easier to get away from the Lord than it is to get back. This is what we want to see. And when I've gotten away from him, I find that I begin to pick up some of the things of Egypt, some of the things of Moab, and it isn't as easy to get back on the path again. A couple years ago, we looked at Abraham and Lot, and we saw the very same things with him. So Naomi does benefit. We're going to see it. She's able to point Ruth here in a right direction. I think she knows the word. She knows the scriptures from Leviticus and Deuteronomy, and she can direct Ruth. Ruth is not proud. Ruth is humble. She's a woman that recognizes, as Tony said, if anything meets my need, it will only be grace. I have no rights. I have nothing to claim. It's just grace. There's a comment in the back.
I think that verse 17 kind of speaks of a sin that we might have in our heart. And if we work hard to get it out and keep it out, that we get rewarded with the barley of the field or more spiritual growth.
I'm not sure I understand what you're saying. A sin?
Like if we have a sin in our heart or... I don't know if we have something that we need to work on. We need to work hard, like Ruth did, I guess.
This when she beat up the wheat, she got out of all of the chaff and the straws that is not needed, and that's what we need to do with our life. That's a very good point. Mm. But I think also we were talking about, and there you could see she feels now that the grace of God is working. She recognized that because when she asked where, and Ruth said with whom, she realized that the Lord is doing work here. And right away, she start getting some refreshment again. You see, what Ruth had given her, it was what's left over. I don't think that was the 10 ephah or the 10 the ephah of barley. I think that was what we had in verse 14. When she sat at Boaz's table, she ate, and it was suffice her, and there was some left over. And I believe she had a little, I don't want to use the term, she had a little bag, and she took with her, because it said in verse 18 that she gave to Naomi what was left from what was suffice her. She gave her a parched corn. She gave her Christ with all his glory. And I think Naomi, it refreshed her heart when she noticed that. And then Naomi now, as we have heard, an older sister. Young people, listen to your older brothers, especially those who know the word of God. Don't just listen to those who's going to agree with you all the time. We have that tendency, oh, I like this brother because, you know what, every time I go to him, he tells me I'm right. So I'm not going to go to that other brother because, you know what, he gives me griefs all the time and he tells me, well, but the word of God said this. That doesn't work this way because Ruth said, he told me to stay with his young man. That's what she said in verse 21. Did Boaz say that? He said, stay with what? In verse 8 of the chapter. Stay with the maiden. Stay with the young ladies. And Ruth kind of like, just didn't see the difference maybe. She again, still young. But Naomi has the discernment. And she told her in verse 22, stay with the young ladies. How important it is, because there is some experience. She didn't say, oh, that's great. You were in Boaz's field. Okay, hang around these guys. They're okay. No, she didn't say that. She has the discernment. And maybe Ruth didn't like that right away. But it's important to take an advice from somebody who knows the word of God, who's looking for your welfare. Not somebody who's going to tell you, oh, that's fine. It's okay. It's no big deal. No, sometimes you might not like what you have heard. It is okay. But that's how you learn. So now Naomi discerned that. And she said, no, Ruth, I am looking for, still for condition of purity. I'm still looking for condition of holiness. If you're going to go back, stay with his maiden. Those maiden, those young ladies, those spiritual young ladies that they belong to Boaz, you're going to keep condition of purity. Because if you go someplace else, if you go to another field, something bad would happen. And that's a warning to all of us from an older sister who has been recovered and able to guide a younger sister in the right way.
Yeah, I just was going to basically go on that same thought of, I enjoyed really very much what our brother Chuck said about how that, you know, she, Naomi needed someone because she had backslidden, if we can use it in today's terms. And she had gone to Moab, she had tried the world for 10 years, and now she's back in the land, but she's still discouraged. And what she really needed was someone who was really on fire for the Lord, really just encouraged in the Lord, and then she could bring something of the Lord back to her. And she would, as we would say today, maybe even come back to the assemblies in that way. But she, we're thankful here, even though Naomi had left, and I don't know if any of you have had the same experience, but someone in our meeting, you know, only comes out maybe once a month, and so I tend to be proud because I'm there every week, you know, and, you know, I'm proud of the fact. And then when he tries to encourage me or give me a thought about something I'm doing or something I should be looking for, I'm like, well, why should I listen to you? Well, he's been there for years. He used to come every week, but he has a health condition, which I tend to overlook. And so even if we think that we're better than them, they have had so much more experience than us. We should really take time, especially if they even come back to the assembly. You know, we should be careful about what they say. But in this case, Naomi came back, as we would say, and she was able to encourage this younger sister in the Lord.
It was two things, really. One, she knew the word of God. She was older. She had intelligence to be able to instruct those that were younger. And I don't think there's sisters here that aren't older than others. So the fact that it says older ones teach the younger, yes, we know that's really talking about older ones. However, there's always somebody younger, and they're looking up to you. So keep good examples to them, and that applies obviously to the guys as well. But one other thing, so she had intelligence, she knew the word of God, but she also had the experience. Why would she tell her not to go into any other fields? She had been in the other fields for 10 years. She knew the devastating effect of those fields, and she said, do not go there. And really, the other thought is, avoid the appearance of evil. She said, don't let them find you there, because it's going to have an impact on them as well. So we have to be careful to not allow anything to come about where we are found in places that are going to impact others, so that we need to avoid the appearance of evil and to listen to those that are older that not only know the word of God better, because she knew that he was a kinsman redeemer. Ruth did not know that. So she knew the word of God, but she also had the experience that Ruth did not have, and she needed to guide her in that so we have the intelligence and the experience as well.
Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3. So I'd like to give us some verses from the New Testament to help us as we make our notes. I think these verses help to tie a nice bow around what we've been saying about the value of having a Naomi. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 14. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and has been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. I think when Naomi asked Ruth, where are you eating? It was that she wanted to make sure that she was eating the right food. And then when Ruth could respond that it's in the field of a man named Boaz, Naomi could give Ruth further counsel to say, that's the place you want to glean. And young people, one of the most important things that you can get is to be assured that those who have taken up leadership to teach you are teaching you principles from the Word of God. Timothy was in a wonderful position because he knew that what Paul was given to him, Paul had received from the Lord Jesus himself. And so no matter what anyone else said, no matter what he saw in other fields or heard was coming from someplace else, Timothy could stand firm upon the word of God given through Paul because he was assured of the vessel that was telling him these things. Don't go looking in other fields. Be assured and have the confidence in brothers and sisters, that what is being told to you is the word of God. And we can check it with the word of God. Okay? Naomi then was able to lead Ruth in the right path. I was thinking of, I think it's in the Acts of the Apostles, there was the evidence, it says, of this company that they had been with the Lord. When we are finished eating and gleaning and gathering and what have you, our conversation, our dress, our deportment, where we go, what we think about, is going to tell others where we've been gleaning. Someone should be able to look at us as young people, just look at us and see that we've been with the Lord. Then when they hear your conversation, they should surely say, I know what feel he or she is in. But I wonder if sometimes just looking at us, we look so much like the world, we sound so much like the world, that someone has to say, when I say to them, well, you know, I go to the gospel hall or I'm a Christian. Really? I would have never known that. If you hadn't said that, I would have never guessed. And I think it was Nathaniel that said early in the week that sometimes what happens is that we then become ashamed because we haven't been living the things that we know we are, and we shy away from being a witness. So I want to encourage us that not only that should we feast upon the things that are right, to be assured of those that are leading us in this direction, but that our very deportment, our conversation, should be evidence that we have been with the Lord.
I just want to ask you a question. And it's just following up Tony. As Ruth was coming back through town with this barley, if someone had met her and said, I'd like to know a little bit. I've heard about a man called Boaz. Do you know anything about him? What do you think she would have said? You just stop and think of that. Ruth would have said to you and I, he's the most wonderful man I have ever met in my life. And I'm thinking again of verse 21. Until I have ended all my harvest. Everything was put at Ruth's disposal. Now I want to think of this in a purely natural way. We talked a little bit about this. I expect every girl in this room is looking to have a husband in a day to come, should the Lord provide one. Everything about our life is in accordance with His will. That's the first thing. Every man in this room, I would think, naturally speaking, would be looking to have a wife someday. I believe these are tremendously encouraging verses. How can I find that? Well, there's internet dating systems. There's these profiles that Emil was talking about. I know a marriage that's going to take place in a couple of weeks, and it's off of a contact on the internet. Now, I don't know about you, brethren, but I'd be pretty afraid of that, you see. But look at the wonder of this, that God has brought. Now, look, marriages are made in heaven. I'm going to tell you that. Marriages are made in heaven. We seek the Lord's mind. We pray for His direction. We ask the Lord to direct us and to bring us into contact with that one that He has for us. Now, I don't tell you that Ruth went with that full knowledge of that. But I believe at the time we're looking at now, Ruth's heart was captivated by this man Boaz. Ruth would not be satisfied with just having the provision of Boaz. Ruth was taken up with Boaz himself. We're going to come to that in these next chapters. And these are wonderful examples. Emil has set before us again the purity, the godliness that is evident in these verses in the relationship that existed there. Not only with Ruth, but with the man Boaz. He did not take advantage of this woman. He did not take liberties that were beyond what was proper for one that belonged to the God of Israel. And young people, we need to see this. We need to underline it for ourselves, don't we? If we're going to get the gain of this. Now just stop. Maybe others will follow there.
Can I say something? All right. I want to read something out of Proverbs. Proverbs 3, verse 5.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
I think this is Ruth, who trusts in the Lord, confide in Jehovah with all thy heart, and lean not unto thine own intelligence, and to lean unto thine own intelligence. There's Naomi who saw that there was no food in Israel, so she went to the fields of Moab. But she had to find out that that wasn't not the way that God had planned for her, and she had to return to Israel without her men and without her sons. And in verse 6 we read, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will make plain to thy paths. In all thy ways, we got so many plans to do, but God made us paths, and paths are a lot smaller than the ways. So it's more difficult to walk on the paths than on the ways. So we find ourselves some difficulties in the walk with the Lord. But God promised us a safe arrival.
Good point. With get us to chapter 3. Chapter 2 ends with that she continually steadfast in the field of Boaz until the barley and the wheat harvest ended. I think Chuck said it yesterday. It is easier to start than to continue. It is better to start well, to continue well, and to finish well. We see here that the consistency that is in that young lady, there is some kind of consistency, tenacity. She continue every day going to the field, barley harvest, wheat harvest. So there is some kind of admirable character that you could see in there. It is wonderful to see that in our life. There is certain thing of consistency. You see young men or young women continue in that way. And she kept at it. We have mentioned the book of Acts earlier. What characterized those group of disciples in the early days of the church? They continue steadfastly. The apostle doctrine, fellowship, breaking of the bread and prayer. That was the characteristic of them. And here we see the same thing in Ruth. But we see another thing. And she dwelt where her mother-in-law. There is some idea about admirable feature of Ruth. And that is the idea of obedience and subjection. This is kind of foreign to us, especially when we're young. Listen, I don't want to listen to anybody. Look, I mean, come on. My parents don't even know how to open a computer. You're going to tell me to listen to them? They have no clue what's going on. We have a problem with that. Ruth didn't say, hey, Naomi, listen, you know, you've been sitting in the house. Things have changed in the last 10 years. You know, things have changed a lot. So I'm going out. I know what's going on out there. So you listen to me now. I'm going to tell you how the world is operating now because you're an old-fashioned person. No, not at all. She subjected herself to advice of Naomi. And she dwelt with Naomi. There was that idea of obedience and subjection. We are living in a world where I have my right. You know what? If the brethren who are taking care of this conference telling me that I have to go to the lunchroom at 11:30, you know, I'm not going at 11:30. I'm going at whatever, 10:30. If they tell me that if I have a room, I have to stay in that room, I'm going to say, wait a second, I don't like that room. I'm going and sit in another room. Listen, very practical here. Let's just be subject. Let's just be in a spirit of obedience. And the Lord will take care of everything. That's very practical. The people around us would read Christ in us more than they would read the Bible. What will attract them to the Lord and to the Word is the way we behave and the way we conduct ourselves. Tenacity. Consistency. It wasn't one day she's this way and one day she's very moody. One day she's this and one day she's that. You know what you're getting when you talk to Ruth all the time. And there was a spirit of subjection. God opened more blessing now. Now Naomi told her. See, Naomi now seems like she's the one who's taking the lead now. Really, there is a recovery working in the heart of Naomi. And chapter 3 starts with Naomi now looking for not just barley. The work is done. She's looking for a greater blessing than that. Rest. Can I find you rest, my daughter? And where do you find the food? In Boaz. And where do you find the sufficiency? In Boaz. And when you're looking for rest, where do you find the rest? In Boaz. And that just takes us to chapter 3 because the time is going.
Okay. Before we move on to chapter 3, I just want to look at the last two verses. And Naomi told her to stay with the maidens of Boaz, and she did. And we can apply this. Who are we spending our time with? Are we spending our time with the Lord's people? And you see that she stayed with them, and she wasn't with other people in another field. And we should be spending time with fellow believers because they will edify us. And iron sharpens iron. And so we should be very thankful that we have opportunities like this, that we can get together and spend time with each other. And also that we have to be careful of who we're spending time outside of the conferences, at our homes, who our friends are. Because very rarely will we bring someone out of the world up. Usually they drag us down to their level. So we have to be very careful.
On the last verse, we have mentioned the barley harvest. Tony brought that before us earlier today. And I think it's important that just we mentioned the wheat harvest. And here's Ruth who continued. We heard about that. Continued on from the barley harvest until the wheat harvest. Barley was that which we have risen with Christ. Seek those things where Christ sits at the right hand of the throne of God. What is the wheat harvest? John 14. Except a corn of wheat fall in the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. This is the wheat harvest, young people. It is the fact that we come in our spiritual growth into the understanding of the highest truths of what Christ has prepared for us, and that is the fact that He's called us unto Himself and that we are one with Him. And this is what we come to when we come to appropriate and glean from the wheat harvest. And so we've grown, and we'll leave it at this, spiritually, into a high level of understanding.
I want just to speak a little bit about this phrase in verse 1. Naomi said, Naomi, her mother-in-law, said unto her, "My daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee?" Well, there's an awful lot in that, isn't there? "That it may be well with thee." Why do brethren like Tony and Emil and John, David, myself, why do we do what we do this week of Grove City? Because we love you. And I'll tell you something, we've said this every year. Between the time that you come into this group at 14 and you leave this group normally at 20 or 21, you are going to make decisions that are going to affect your entire life upon this earth. How long is the rest of your life, young people? I don't know how long it'll be before the Lord comes. But if the Lord leaves you here, that's a long time. What a terrible thing when we witness young people that have made bad decisions. Decisions that have consequences with them. Decisions that mothers and fathers weep over because there are things they can't fix. There are situations that come into lives that they can only help their children pick up the pieces and do something that's far less than being well with thee. The verses the young brother read, "In all thy ways." You know, that's a pretty all-encompassing word. What's left out there? "In all thy ways, acknowledge Him." That doesn't mean just tell the Lord about it and do it. That means that I go before Him in exercise and I seek His direction. "Fear the Lord," it says, "and depart from evil." This is what Naomi wanted for Ruth. Naomi felt deeply in her heart what had happened in Moab. And I believe she dearly wanted the best for this young woman, Ruth, who had come to know the Lord. But she takes her slowly. She takes her deliberately. And Emil has helped us to see over and over, there is purity, there is godliness in the lives of all of the actors that we're looking here at. There can be nothing less than that if I'm going to expect the blessing of the Lord in my life. I can't sit in this room and say, "Well, you know, it's different with me. I'm an exception." It isn't different. You aren't an exception. And if we go the way of Ruth, and if we go the way of Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, and 7 there, we'll look back someday and we'll thank the Lord for Bible studies like this that helped me see I'm not like this world. They're going in one direction, and by God's grace, I'm going in an opposite.
The whole idea of trust is huge in this aspect for Ruth. Primarily, like in verse 22 and 23, you know, usually when older brethren might say something, or even our relationship with the Lord, we might say, well, we always have to question it. But why? But why? But why? But why? But when Naomi spoke to Ruth and says, stay with the maiden, she didn't say, but why? She just did it. Same thing in verse 5. She said, and all that I say unto me will I do. In verse 5 of chapter 3. But basically there was always just a response, because there's a level of trust. And I think that sometimes we live in this day that we're always trying to be so independent and depending on ourselves, and we have to provide for ourselves. And we need to really realize that we can do nothing without the Lord, and that when we put our full trust in Him, then He's always going to look after us. And then that's where you get into verse 1 of chapter 3, that it may be well with thee. The Lord knows our limitations. He'll never put more on us than we can bear. So our limitations, you know, sometimes we feel like we could keep on going, or maybe we might feel tired or whatever it might be, and that we might do things. But once we put our full trust in the Lord, then He will bless us, and He will always make sure that we have what is needed in order for us to keep on going.
I have to disagree with you on one thing. We, correct me if I'm wrong, whatever, but when you said we can't do anything without the Lord, as far as salvation, yeah, that's true. But, you know, if we want to dedicate ourselves to something and say, you know, I want to have my own business someday, right? And you can do it without the Lord, but without the Lord in it, it means nothing.
Well, that's why we looked at the verse that talked about, you know, delighting in the Lord and giving our wills over to Him. You know, we mentioned about Demas the other day, that having loved this present age, that he gave up the things of Christ. And Demas, and those things might have been some noble things or legitimate things, but it says he loved this age. So we do recognize that we can make decisions that are outside of the will of God, where we are not submissive or subject to His will. And then we find ourselves, as Brother Chuck says so often, trying to pick up the pieces for those poor decisions. Good, Brother.
We have a comment over here in this side.
I just want to read a verse that kind of goes along with what we've been saying. In Matthew 6:33, it says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and all His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." And throughout the book of Ruth, we never see Ruth really searching for any rest. She's always concerned with the work of the Lord. And because of that, the Lord has granted her blessing, and she didn't even have to ask for it.
I want to wrap us up. It's 12 after. Who? Yeah, go ahead, and then we'll give. I want to leave a verse with us.
Hope it's on. Okay, there it goes. All right, what you were saying, in our Christian lives, where I've always failed, is by saying, well, this thing is too small for God, you know, to touch. You know, He has so many things to do. Every single thing we do in our life, from tying our shoes to brushing our teeth to whatever, it takes faith. You have to have faith to get out of the bed in the morning. You have to have faith to do everything. You know, so we cannot do anything without the Lord Jesus Christ helping us. It's absolutely impossible. I can't get up and walk out of this room by my own will. I need the Lord Jesus Christ helping me. And I have faith. We take it for granted sometimes and we forget. But every single thing we do in our life, by trusting the cafeteria food to doing everything else, all right, oh, that food really bothers me, I'm sorry. But everything from A to B to C to D to E, whatever it is, it takes trust, it takes faith and perseverance to get through it. All right, so I just want to say that before we wrap up anything.
I want to know, who knows in the New Testament where these same words are, that it may be well with thee? Somebody, don't tell us where it is. Somebody raise your hand. That it may be well with thee. I'm going to leave you with this. We're going to close on it. What's your relationship with your parents? What is your relationship, young people, with your parents? I'm going to read this verse from Ephesians 6. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise. What? That it may be well with thee. These decisions that you go through, these areas, God has given you that first line.
of help in a mother and a father to help you. So as Ruth, obviously she didn't have that here, but as you leave, you've got that it may be well with thee and that thou mayest live long on the earth. I ask you, young people, what is your relationship with your parents? If it's not what it should be, you take the initiative. You go make right what has been wrong on your part. You can't make them fix anything. You can only settle. I remember a time in my life personally when I went home one night and I no longer lived at home. And I went home and I got my mom and dad out of bed at 12:30 a.m. And I said, they were surprised. They thought something was wrong. I said, something is wrong. And it's been me. It's been my attitude. It's been the way I've acted as a young person. And thank the Lord, I ended up at Grove City the next summer. You see, what is your relationship with your mother and father? They're, other than the Lord and His Word, they're the greatest help, should be, that you'll ever receive. I want to say again, if there's some here and you've got some issues, we don't want you to leave Eastern Bible Conference with them. Come and talk to one of us. Talk to the sisters that are here. If you've got problems in your life that are mountains to you, let us at least counsel and help and pray together. Now, we've gone over, so maybe we could forego the song today, and just someone would close in prayer if we could.